From Capital Broadcasting Company and WRAL.com, this is The Wrap at NC Capital.
Good evening. Welcome to The Wrap. This is the Tuesday crossover halftime show. I'm Laura Leslie, WRAL Capital Bureau Chief.
And I'm Travis Fain, WRAL's State House reporter.
And it's been, we've seen hundreds of bills moved already today, and the House is coming back at 8 o'clock to move some more. So it's your typical crossover. Obviously, we can't get to every bill that went through today, but there are a few out there that that do note.
Yeah, and you know, if we can kind of start talking about like one of the big things, criminal justice reform. There was a press conference this morning. Nothing really new if you've been following this issue, but just House and Senate leaders and rank and file kind of appearing to say, "Hey, we got these bills. They're moving." A lot of law enforcement support, sheriffs there, district attorneys, conference of district attorneys there, police represented there as well. And just talking about what is and isn't going to move, looks like the body camera language, you know, it's been added to the Senate version of this bill to let families see body camera video sooner if someone in their family is shot by police. That's not in the House bill yet, and it sounds like there's no guarantee it will be in the House bill. But it does seem like a mover. It does seem like something that's going to move forward.
And also today, we got a surprise bill emerge in House Education, a bill that used to be about sort of attendance would work at charter schools next year became a bill basically banning critical race theory from being taught in North Carolina schools. This is basically what critical race theory, for those of you who don't know or for those of you who maybe think you know, is really just basically the teaching of the idea of systemic racism, right? The idea that there were racial injustices and disparities that this society sort of was built on and still keeps functioning on, and looking at how that works. Well, this has become a real hot button issue, especially among the GOP base. You hear a lot about it on Fox, you see it on billboards. So what this bill would do is say that, you know, teachers cannot teach that, you know, anybody should feel guilty about something that people of their race did in prior generations, et cetera. It's a bill that's passed in a couple of states. I know Idaho and Tennessee have passed it. I'm not sure what other ones may have. This, again, kind of emerged out of nowhere today. It got a hearing in Education when Representative Galliard had a lot to say about that.
Yep.
Called it a lie. Called it racist, classist.
A bill of white fragility, I think, was one of the phrases he used. Basically saying, oh, I don't want to hear my history.
Don't,
you know,
hurt my feelings,
don't make me feel bad. Yeah, don't hurt my feelings, Bill.
So anyway, so that may be on the House floor tonight or tomorrow. It may be a long night if it's tonight. I expect to get a lot of debate because a lot of the black lawmakers are pretty fired up about that one.
And just a word about how it emerged. You know, it's a gut and amend into another bill that pops up in Education Committee. No sooner had the Education Committee voted it through than leadership is out with a statement on it, the Republican leadership. So obviously, you know, this was planned. They all knew what they were doing. But yet, if you're a member of the general public, it takes you by surprise. So
absolutely. Also today, bills moved in House Committee. One of them was kind of caught my attention. It was a breast cancer imaging bill. And this has to do with... And a lot of women know this, like if you go in for a mammogram and they find something, and that happens to about 12% of women who get mammograms, you know, you may be called back for a diagnostic exam, which is usually like an ultrasound, right, or MRI. Some insurance doesn't cover that, and that's really expensive. And so if you're, you know, the woman is set left, it's like, do I really want to go for that extra test and pay for that out of my pocket, or do I just want to hope I get lucky and cross my fingers and wait till next year? Okay, so what this bill would do is require insurers who do cover mammograms to provide the same sort of coverage for those diagnostic tests. And we heard from several lawmakers who have either survived breast cancer or had family members that did about how important that bill is. And so that's one that I expect we will probably see on the House floor this evening.
Yeah, awful late for major health policy that insurance companies might not like to be moving. But we'll see.
But an important thing to remember, too, is that this is crossover. All this means is it's getting through one House.
That's right.
And let's face it. Number one, there are a record number of bills this year. I think I was told by a lawmaker that he's never seen this many bills moving on crossover week. He thinks a lot of the freshmen have bills. Everybody gets a bill. Everybody gets something they want. And it's all coming to crunch this week. But, you know, 75 to 80% of these bills will never be taken up by the Senate. That's kind of just how these things work. So, you know, there's a lot of ideas, but just keep in mind, just because something gets through the House doesn't mean it's going to actually become law. Yeah.
Speaking of ideas, and this is one that is not crucial right now because it's a money bill, and so money bills are not subject to the crossover deadline, but there is legislation coming out of the House to give parents $1,000 per kid, but they have to spend it on like specific education related things. Dawn Vaughn at the News and Observer had a piece. She was first to report this last night. But looking at the bill today, so it's a grant program, right?
Right.
But you have to spend it in a certain way. So someone has to make sure every parent in the state that gets it spends it in a certain way. Sounds like that someone would be some sort of contractor, at least, would be involved.
Educational assistance.
Well, there's $4.5 million in the bill for a private contractor. Now, exactly who that would be, I don't know, but I know that former lawmaker Marcus Brandon is pushing the bill with his group. He's in like an education choice advocacy role. I'm sure he has some involvement there. His group has some involvement there. It's one to watch. It's Representative John Hardister is sponsoring the bill. Democrats want to use, I mean, this is all COVID money, right? We got billions and billions in COVID money. Democrats want to use it a little more targeted way. They want to give money to people who've been unemployed. I think it's like $1,000 you'd get on top of your unemployment, and restore the earned income tax credit. So just store that away in your brain for later. We're going to talk about money, and it won't be long.
Yeah, well, it will be long, because nothing takes longer than having money to spend. You know, when we have sessions where things have to be cut, they tend to go really quick, right? But when there's money to spend, especially when it's not these state money, we're going to be here for a while. We can be here for a while. I want to mention one of my favorite bills of the year, and this is my little personal item, zipper merge. Two words, zipper merge, right?
I wondered why the zipper merge got its own story today. And now
I feel I'm passionate about zipper merge. Anybody who drives in the Triangle has to feel like people here don't know how to merge. They don't. So what it would do is it would basically put into law that the appropriate way to merge is you go up, use both lanes, and you go one at a time, take your turn one after the other. That's the way to do it. They're going to put that in the driver's ed. So this is a bipartisan bill, and I don't know what its chances really are, but every time we bring it up or write about it, people are like, oh my gosh, yes, how is this not law already? So
yeah, except that's not what they do out in the real world. So yeah, you don't need a law to merge appropriately. Duke Energy, you know, we've been waiting on this energy bill. A piece that was pointed out to me out of their shareholders call on Monday, where CEO Lynn Good saying, hey, we're very optimistic we're going to get major energy legislation through the North Carolina General Assembly this year. I'd like to see that bill. Have you seen that bill?
I haven't yet.
I do not believe that that bill has been written down in any way that the public is able to see it. So it would be interesting if that bill could emerge at some point. It's continuing secret talks with stakeholders, solar industry, Duke Energy. I'm not sure who all else is there. Environmentalists feel like they're not at the table, though. Again, not for crossover, but later on, this thing is going to emerge. Probably going to be more than a few pages.
Probably so.
And will be major legislation dealing with the energy future of the state.
Speaking of energy, you just listened to a long Senate debate over the Farm Bill, which involves basically a plan to offer blanket permits to these hog, they call them, contained area feeding operations, large hog farms, for example, that have these the lagoons, the waste lagoons. And so if they put a lid over the top of it and make it into a methane conversion that's called biogas, and this would sort of allow them to sort of have this blanket permit.
The way we permit hog farms right now is it's not you get a permit, you get a permit, you get a permit. It's 2,100 of you. You all get a permit, and it's re-upped every 5 years. So just like you're permitting the concept.
Right.
And instead of requiring individual permits on these methane collection units that, put the tarp basically over the lagoon, it would be that same general permit is what they call it. And so that's part of the Farm Bill. It moved through on a either party line or very close to a vote in the Senate. That will move over to the House now. And at least that's the only part of the Farm Bill people are fighting over this year. That's an improvement.
Give it a minute.
The Senate also passed the Born Alive Abortion Bill. This is one we've talked about before, and we've talked about, it passed in 2019. Essentially the same bill, very similar at least. And the governor vetoed it. So we kind of expect that to happen again. But, this is the bill where if a child is born after a failed abortion, the doctor has the same duty of care for it as the doctor would have for any newborn. The argument is it's not needed, Democrats say, because this isn't...
Where's the data on this?
Well, how do you find data on children who were born alive after an abortion who then died? I don't know where... I don't even know what box anyone would check to catalog that A lot of the data that has been presented in committee has been about people who survived abortions. But of course, if you survived to tell the tale, then the bill's not really relevant to your case, because...
Well, and I think a lot of these folks, this happened in the 1970s and 80s, right?
Yes.
When there were very different ways of inducing abortion than there are in 2021. Most of them are medication, and they are early, you know, in which case it wouldn't... Anyway.
Well, and there's some estimates from the CDC, according to bill sponsor Joyce Kravick, that I think she said 385 to 500 is the CDC estimate. I don't know, of course, you know, what time period that's over. That's probably relevant. Anyway, that one is moved forward, and like we said, I mean...
You should mention a couple of bills, a couple of gun bills that are moving through in the House right now. House Bill 74.
Come on
through, it's fine.
Yeah.
House Bill, so we'll keep her from her job. She's really important. Hey there. House Bill 74 would allow lawmakers to carry weapons, concealed carry weapons here in the legislature and whenever they're out on their official duties in any location but a school. So that would include courthouses and other government buildings. The argument that was made for this bill yesterday was Representative Kidwell said he had had death threats, and he feels and other representatives said they had felt like they needed a Bible-approved vest, they felt threatened, and they felt like they needed to be able to defend themselves out on the trail or out when they're meeting with constituents. They also said they, you know, that, I mean, one of the things that you can't help but notice if you're here for any length of time is that they have spent a whole lot of money, I would say millions of dollars, beefing up security here. Between the new extra police, extra security, the screenings, the metal detectors, and some other opponents of the bill say that should be enough to secure this building. Because, I mean, nobody from the public is getting in here with a gun, that's for sure. But lawmakers say if you have a concealed carry permit and you're allowed to carry concealed outside the building, then there's no good reason that you shouldn't be carrying inside.
Unless you're not an elected official, because this is only for elected officials, right?
Right. So this would cover Council of State, too. And Kidwell said that he had heard from two or three members of the Council of State that had specifically requested this as well.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not an elected official, so I guess I'm out of luck if I want to do it.
Yeah, the only people who would be armed in here would be the legislature, well, them and the General Assembly Police, of course. One other gun bill that appears to be getting some legs in the House would be a bill to basically extend concealed carry permits for a lifetime. So instead of having to re-up every 5 years, have the sheriff check your record, make sure you haven't gone to jail in the meantime or gotten a domestic violence conviction or some such, you would just be able to get it for a lifetime.
Huh. That's one that's been kind of a priority for a few years, right?
Well, that one, reciprocity, constitutional carry, I mean, there's a lot that the gun folks have been hoping for. And so, you know, this is not unusual to see some of these bills emerge this time of year.
Quickly, on the Senate side, the employee transparency bill, this is what makes a little bit more people's personnel files open to public review if they're a state or local government employee. Pulled from the calendar again today. I don't know exactly what's up with that, but it's been pulled a couple of times. It's a bill Scenic, the State Employees Association, is against. It's a pretty controversial bill. So I imagine some sort of controversy is to blame for that. The donor privacy bill passed the State Senate tonight. This is the one that says that if you're a nonprofit, you're not supposed to give out the names of your donors. It ties back to a case out of California where the Attorney General's office there sought out information from nonprofits about who their donors were. That is at the Supreme Court, pending decision right now. So this is kind of a preemptive effort to keep that from happening in North Carolina. It's a cancel culture bill, right? Like, I don't want, if you're given to, the NAACP was one example, or let's say a conservative group like Americans for Prosperity, you know, maybe your employer finds out, maybe they take some action against you, maybe.
But as one of the Democrats pointed out in the Senate tonight, if you want your donation to be anonymous, you can already say that. I know that because that's how I make all my donations. We had people alleging that this was about dark money and shell games and ALEC and the John Locke Foundation. We had other people alleging that this is about church and Matthew 6 and the fact that if the cancel culture, that if people knew who people were giving to, nobody would give any money. It's an interesting bill.
Yeah, I mean, it's much ado about something. I just don't know how much the ado is really about here. I mean, it definitely does not touch election spending. We've run that by attorneys. But, you know, there's this argument that these entities play this shell game. So you give to this one, it gives to this one, it gives to this one, it gives to this one. And that's where the election spending is. I got news for y'all. As someone who tries to track that now, you can't. So I don't think that this bill is going to affect that all that drastically. But I certainly understand why people would not trust a bill that provides more privacy to donors, to 501c4s and, you know, these other groups that, that move their money around.
Yeah, absolutely. Sure. Absolutely. So the House Rules tonight, I have to give special recognition to for possibly the least thorough shoveling of bills through of all time. It was like an auction, basically. Some of them, like literally, they didn't even get the title read. Amendments were approved when they were on the wrong bill. Amendments were not explained. The bills were not explained. There was a debate on about two bills out of about 65, I guess, and cool. That was in an hour and 15 minutes. So you can do the math on that one. Anyway, so most of those bills, well, one of those bills that really caught my attention in the House Transportation today is the neighborhood driverless delivery car.
Like so, autonomous vehicle of some kind?
Autonomous vehicle. So this would approve a neighborhood delivery, a cargo delivery vehicle, autonomous, to drive around our neighborhoods up to 45 miles an hour. This seems like something people might be concerned about, given some of the reports about driverless cars killing people, let's say. But this is this bill got no debate, either committee, and so I'm sure it'll be on the floor tonight, and we'll see if it gets any debate there.
We have a bicameral system, so
yes.
we get multiple cracks at these things.
Yes, thank you.
Sometimes you're thankful for that. Sometimes you're not.
if House Rules was any indication, be thankful. Anyway, so tonight will be a long night, but we will be monitoring it for you. We've got a lot of write-ups of a lot of bills today already on NC Capitol, so please take a look at some of those. And we got two more days of this crazy to go before they run out of the crossover deadline at Thursday at midnight. As Speaker Moore said last night, he was hoping this wouldn't be running up to midnight every night, but at this point it looks like that was a nice sentiment, but perhaps not realistic. So stay with us.
Hope's not a plan.
Yeah, there you go. Thanks for joining us.
This podcast is a production of WRAL.com, part of the Capital Broadcasting Podcast Network. If you like the show, we'd appreciate you giving us a review and sharing it with your friends. Subscribe on Apple Podcasts or your favorite listening app.